two people, moving and marching, thinking, head scratching about something big that's just been happening. But on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem way, two became three as another says, "Hey, hey," says he, "you've been thinking and head scratching. Has something big just been happening?" "You've not heard about what's been happening? All of Jerusalem have been head scratching." "What have I missed?" asks the man. "I'd love to know. Please tell if you can." "It's about a man called Jesus, and we thought he was coming to rescue God's people and send the Romans off running. He did, and he said loads of cool stuff from a place up north called Nazareth. He told great stories and healed the sick. He knew people by name and what made them tick. Oh, remember that wedding? He turned water to wine, brought his friend back to life, and his friend felt just fine. He was sharing and caring, just ask his friend Pete. He walked on the water with only his feet. He said shush to the storm and the storm was hushed. He did a miracle with bread and thousands were stuffed. Besides all this, his sermon up a hill had so many stories, super cool and brill. I can't believe it. What a big loss. A man so great who hung on a cross, and on that cross, that's where he died. I feel so tied up in knots inside. And 3 days have passed, though it feels more like 70, because now we've heard that his tomb is empty. That's right, you heard me. His body is gone. But who'd take his body? He never did wrong. You seem confused and out of the picture. So let me show you what it says in the scripture. It was always the plan, right from the start, because Jesus loved you with all of his heart. He died on the cross, but rose from the tomb. He came back to life so you can live too. And as they were moving, and still head scratching, two of them stopped, but the third kept on marching. Don't go, please, the two say. The sun's gone to bed, so why don't you stay? Good point, says the third. Day has turned to night. I'll stop over with you two and then grab a bite. And as they sit down to eat, they close their eyes. He thanks God for the grub, then what a surprise! The two people stare and then rub their eyes. It's Jesus, not gone, but fully alive! And before they say seconds, there's more bread going round. Jesus just vanishes. He cannot be found. The two are left thinking and really head scratching. They'd just been with Jesus. Something big was happening. We must say we've seen Jesus, so tie up your shoes. Quick, to Jerusalem. There's no time to lose. All along it was Jesus, the very same one. They were searching the scriptures with God's precious son. It's the biggest story that's ever been told. About Jesus who's risen, it never gets old. The two met with Jesus in the most surprising way. They shared the story, and we still share it today.
Well, as we thought about earlier, Jesus died on a cross. His body was placed in that tomb. But the best bit, and the bit we celebrate today, is the fact that he rose 3 days later from the grave. And that's where we pick up the Easter story now, with these two disciples who are traveling home on the road to Emmaus. So far we've seen that Jesus loves, and now we see that Jesus lives. So let's consider this return journey that these two disciples were making, first of all. Because thinking about it, you can kind of understand why Cleopas and his friend were both heading home. After all, they just had their hopes completely dashed. Jesus, the one they'd hoped would save them from the Romans, was dead and buried. And they were understandably very sad indeed. But what I don't get is the timing of their decision to leave Jerusalem and head back to Emmaus. Because if you remember, when Jesus was alive, he repeatedly told his disciples and those around him, anyone who would listen in fact, that he would die and then he would be raised to life on the third day. Cleopas and his friends even explained this to Jesus himself a little later on in their conversation with him. There in verse 21 of Luke chapter 24, talking to Jesus about Jesus, they say this. They say, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it is the third day since all of this took place." They knew personally that Jesus said he would rise on the third day. So if you were Cleopas and his friends, wouldn't you have at least wanted to stick around until Sunday evening in order to find out what was going to happen next? Maybe even book an extra night at the travel lodge there in Jerusalem and stay till Monday morning. But no, instead, with their hopes dashed and disappointment overwhelming them, they decide to get up and leave town early. And maybe that's what we're tempted to do from time to time as well. Maybe we're tempted to quit too early. Maybe we're tempted to even give up on God at times. Well, you know, the wonderful thing is that even though we are sometimes tempted to give up on God, he will never give up on us. In fact, he'll come searching for us, just as he went in search of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And that's where he gradually reveals himself to them. You see, having begun their journey home, Jesus sneaks up on these two downhearted disciples. And you'll notice that he does so in a very quiet and unassuming way. In fact, when you read through the Bible, you'll find that Jesus never really liked to create a fuss or make a scene. Not only does he leave the tomb before it was light and sneak up on these two disciples here, but you'll remember way back when he first arrived on earth, he came as a little baby, born in a stable in a little backwater town of Bethlehem. And so in keeping with his character, Jesus approaches Cleopas and his friend very quietly, and he says to them, "What are you talking about?" Never mind the fact that he's God and he knows exactly what they're talking about. You see, the thing is that when Jesus speaks to us, we often think that he's going to announce himself in some big way, like a message in the clouds perhaps, or maybe there's going to be a voice from heaven or something incredible like that. But the reality is that Jesus often speaks to us in quiet and unassuming ways. He often speaks to us in the midst of our deepest disappointments and difficulties, and he does so through his still, small voice, which is something that we need to be constantly listening out for. How might Jesus be speaking to us today through our current situation and circumstances? Well, once again, these disciples, they're kept from recognizing Christ. And instead, they begin to tell him exactly what had gone on over those last 3 days. What had gone wrong there in Jerusalem? What's Jesus' reply? Well, Jesus says there in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then he begins to open up the Old Testament to them and show them the many promises that had already been made about him, many hundreds, some thousands of years before. And that's a comfort to us, isn't it? Not just to know that Jesus was who he said he was all along, that he is God's Son, God in human flesh, the promised Saviour of the world, the fact that he fulfilled all of these promises that have been made about him many years before. But it's also comforting to know that Jesus chose to reveal himself to these two disciples first and foremost through his word, the Bible. Once again, we can sometimes think to ourselves that we'd be far better off in life if Jesus were physically present with us, if he were walking there physically beside us. But the very fact that Jesus reveals himself to Cleopas and his friend through the Bible, first of all, and not in person, shows us that Jesus himself thinks that his word, the Bible, is more than sufficient. that the Bible is what we need. We don't need Jesus to be physically present with us in this life. No, he is with us through his word. And that's a comforting thing for us to know and to hold on to in our daily lives. As we meet Jesus day by day through the Bible that we read, he is there, right there, alongside us. But getting back to the story, having been traveling with Jesus and chatting all the way, they finally reach this crossroads and there's a decision to make. Yet instead of wishing this stranger farewell, they invite him back for tea, which is an invitation that he readily accepts. And it's there as they sit at the table that Jesus breaks the bread. He gives thanks and he hands it to them. And then their eyes are suddenly open. They recognize Jesus for who he is. Maybe it's the way that he broke the bread, just as he had done a few days earlier there in the upper room. Or maybe it was the nail prints they saw as he gave them this bread. Whatever it was, they recognize him, and then he's gone. How about that? Well, you know, very often it's not until we look back over our lives that we realize why things happened exactly the way they did. That we gain a new perspective that we never had before. And as these disciples realize that it was the risen Jesus who had been with them all along, they say to each other this. They say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So what was their response? Well, having walked 7 miles in the wrong direction, they now get up and turn around and run the whole way back to Jerusalem. Verse 33 tells us, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen." This encounter that they'd had with the risen Lord Jesus had completely transformed their lives. Where there was once nothing but despair and disappointment, now there was great hope and reassurance. I wonder what our response is to this wonderful news today, this news that Jesus has risen, that he is alive. Well, if we already know Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour, then we can take comfort from the fact that Jesus is alive, that he's right there walking alongside us. And if that's the case, may that fresh realisation spur us on to tell others about this wonderful news, that they might also come to know him as we do, and the hope that Jesus brings. Well, we're now going to sing about our responsibility and that hope that we have as we sing our final song, "Christ is Risen, He is Risen Indeed." Please sit or stand as you feel comfortable.